With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Glamour Podcast fans. This is another episode of You Guessed It, Glamour. Hey, it's okay. And today, do you know what? It's going to be really okay because we've got an actual professional who knows what they're doing. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Jo Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour magazine. And today I'm joined by two wonderful people. I have our executive fashion and beauty director, Claudia Mahoney.
Woo!
Hi. Yeah, the last time Claudia's reminded me I'm the worst boss in the world because I had a mind fart the last time Claudia was on the podcast and I suddenly went, and it's, oh God, Claude, what are you doing? Because it's a really long, fancy title. Sorry.
It befits my...
It's like, all I can handle is that I'm the editor. I know that word. That's it.
Well, thank you for having me back.
And today, I mean, this is like inviting Jamie Oliver around and cooking him for dinner. We've got an actual DJ in today. Somebody who knows what they're doing. It's the fabulous Edith Bowman.
I'm a good faker.
Teach us everything.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Can you drive the deck today?
I can ride the faders.
There we go. That's the thing. What do people say? I didn't even know what they say. I just put the headphones on and pretend that I know.
Twiddle the knobs and ride your faders and we'll be fine.
Oh, Edith, twiddle my knobs. This is where we've got you. This way. I'm not letting you out of that
right
corner.
Kind of podcast.
No.
Don't feel threatened.
I know.
End in there.
Yeah. I'm all right. I'm underneath Alexa Chong, who's looking sexy in dungarees. Topless,
yes.
And I'm in my dungarees.
I've got to say, you're looking pretty damn sexy in your dungarees.
Thanks. Not topless, but yeah.
Not to keep this slightly inappropriate theme going here today.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. We're all friends, aren't we? Thank you so much for being here,
Thanks
Edith.
Thanks for asking me.
So I know you're a very, very busy, busy woman. You're doing Film 2016 tonight.
Yeah, I'm doing that. I've been asked to do that for 1 week, which is a bit of a dream come true. So yeah. I've not been sleeping for the past week, sort of dreaming about it and fearing it. And then I had this weird thing. So I'm doing it with Peter Bradbury, who's the film, one of the film critics for The Guardian. And I'd never met him before. And then in the past 2 days, I've met him 4 times.
Right.
By chance. I was sat next to him at the British Independent Film Awards. I then went to a screening and sat next to him at the screening. I then went to get the tube home and the tube station was closed. So I walked to the next one and he was there. It's weird.
He's
so
stalking
I kind of,
you.
That's sliding doors.
It's weird. But
Who's stalking who in this relationship?
I think it's probably me, to be honest, just to make sure he's nice to me. But yeah, I'm doing film and I'm doing my new radio show on Virgin, which I've been doing since March, doing the breakfast show. And then I launched this podcast, talking of podcasts.
Podcasts are fun, right?
They're so good.
Yeah.
I'm at a point where I want to make stuff that I want to do that I'm interested in. You know, I'm not starting out again, although I kind of feel like I have been, which is nice. And I have this love for film and this love for music. And podcasts are great because if you have a passion for something, you can just do it. So I have, and I've been speaking to all these wonderful filmmakers about their relationship with music, be it, you know, professionally and stuff they use in their films, but also personally. So everyone from Andrea Arnold to Thea Sharrock and John Favreau and people like
Amazing.
That. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
What I love about the podcasts I listen to, it's like you can pick a theme like that and you just don't know what amazing stories you're going to get out of it. What's been your favourite moments so far?
One of my favourite moments was definitely hearing Andrea Arnold talk about when, so her film that was, it picked up loads of awards at the British Independent Film Awards, actually, American Honey. And she wanted to use Rihanna's We Found Love and Calvin Harris in the film, because the film's about these kids in the States called Mag Crews who drive around in the back of vans and sell magazine subscriptions.
Write that down, Claude.
I'm adding to my title.
And so she spent a lot of time with real life Mag Crews, and this song was a constant in every Mag Crew that she spent time with.
Hang on a minute, Mag Crews. We're missing a trick here. I want to be in a crew. Am I too old to have a mag crew?
No, you're so not. Hashtag. Let's have a glamour mag crew.
I've got a mag posse. Is that like really old school and out of date now?
Don't know if anyone uses the word posse anymore, but yeah.
That's what I'm going wrong.
Well, retro's good. Retro's fashionable.
I need to be schooled by this woman.
She wanted to use the song. Obviously, it would cost millions of pounds to get the rights to use that in the film. She wrote Rihanna a letter and explained the kind of concept of the film and sent her some rushies and stuff like that, and she said yes.
Wow.
Nice, eh?
She must have got Rihanna on a good day.
On time, for once.
Have you met Rihanna?
Never.
No,
I've heard
me
so,
either.
I don't want to. I've heard so many bad things.
A colleague of ours went on the famous Rihanna plane.
Oh, I heard about that.
A couple of years ago. What was it? Seven days and seven cities.
Tour or something.
I mean, it definitely
should have been 666.
Yeah, it very quickly went Lord of the Flies, from what I can understand. Sort of like people rocking back and forth in airport lounges, just crying and wanting it to
end. Shaun of the Dead. Yeah. Yeah.
But at least, you know, she did.
She was nice to Andrea Arnold.
She did a solid for Andrea. We like that. Yeah.
It's hard sometimes, isn't it? When you kind of, same industry, you know, you meet these and make these people that you've watched or you've listened to or for years, and you never quite know what they're going to be like, and you have ones that you're fans of, and sometimes you're really apprehensive about spending time with them in case they are an absolute idiot.
Yeah,
that never meet your heroes.
Yeah,
who's lived up to your expectations? Who?
Leo.
Really?
The way I said that,
you're such close personal friends.
I'm so close to the mic saying his name.
First name. Leo. Yeah, yeah. You've got to say it a bit huskily and rub your thighs while you do it.
Yeah. Why do you think my hands were in my pockets?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to say anything. Yeah.
He was. Someone of that stature. The normal and the expectation is they come in a room with a crew, you know, with their publicists, with about five people, and you're watched, you know, so intensely by people. He came in on his own, sat down on the couch next to me, had a chat, didn't just answer the questions.
Right.
Had a chat, and that was so refreshing.
Did he ask you questions about you? See, that's the test of a human being, I think.
That is
exactly.
Yeah.
And then Harrison Ford, I was so excited about, you know, Indiana Jones, Han Solo. And he was hard work.
Yeah,
so
I think he's just over it, you know.
But then I asked him about being a carpenter, and it was like the light had been ignited in his eyes, and he talked about wood.
Wow. I'm just going to let that
I
happen.
I waited for the inappropriate comment from Joe.
Yeah. What have I become?
How dare you?
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, I just think when I saw Harrison Ford, I've never met. You've just met loads of people that I've never met. So I'm just gonna sort of like, you know, opine wildly about people I haven't met. That's a nice thing to do, isn't it? But Harrison Ford
next to me. She's
staring at us. What we're doing is we're standing in Glamour's meeting room. We've upgraded from
the cupboard,
the pod
literally.
Cupboard in Wired magazine, and now we're in this room surrounded by beautiful portraits of beautiful women,
gorgeous women.
Yes, of Cameron Diaz, Emma Watson, J-Law, everybody. So
beautiful.
That's what Edith referring to there. What was I talking about? Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
He just seems so like he wanted to be anywhere else than the Star Wars premiere. It was like, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to do a spoiler. And if you haven't seen it, that's your problem by now. But I don't know. It's just, it felt to me like they'd got him to be in the film by sort of saying, look, we promise we'll kill you. We promise we'll end it. And that's how he was like, all right, do one more scene. All right, I'll have another $20 million.
Yeah. Did I have to cuddle Carrie again?
Oh, I know. Yeah, that was extraordinary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was kind of the story that you wanted to be true.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah.
I'm that person on that game of I have never seen Star Wars.
What?
I know.
Get back in the cupboard.
I know, I'm so sorry.
Never, not even one.
I fell asleep.
I just think that's
them.
Really weird.
I know.
I can't. It's
do you
like
know who
people
else?
Saying to me, I
Dorno
don't like
Porter.
Music.
Dorno Porter always proudly tells me she hasn't seen Star Wars.
It's just not happened. Sorry. Okay, I'll go. I won't go to the Elf screening I was telling them about earlier. I shall go home and
watch six Star Wars films.
Seven.
Is there any films like that? I haven't seen any of the Godfather films, which I know is also very weird.
I've seen them.
Yeah. What about you? Have you got any of those? You probably have to see everything now.
Well, no, I mean, I haven't seen everything. Weirdly, I did a thing with Empire magazine last week where they have this feature that they do where they ask you to pick a film that you haven't seen, like one of those really popular films you haven't seen. They send you a list and then you've got to watch it and then write about it. And I hadn't seen this. I went through the list and there weren't many, which I surprised myself I hadn't seen, but there was this Japanese manga film called Akira that apparently a lot of people cite as is like the best.
That's my favourite film. So.
But I hadn't seen it. And I'm not really into manga or anything like that, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I had to write about it. And I kind of, it was good, it was fun. It's quite nice that getting set a task like
I don't want to write about a film. Oh my God.
No?
No. It's like,
I mean, I don't like being told what to like. I don't read reviews and stuff.
Well, let's not get into the books I haven't read, though. That's an even way longer list. I'm the worst.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
All those kind of classics that everyone cites and I'm like that. What?
I know. Well, that's my Australian education. Let's just blame that.
I blame my Scottish.
So, Virgin, you're on Virgin every weekend?
Monday, Friday.
Sorry, Edith.
No, it's fine. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I'm at breakfast. Work.
I know how busy you are.
Very hard.
You're a mother. You're a working mother.
Oh, my God. Shall I leave? This is terrible.
I've got this, Joe. We'll talk about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Monday, Friday, I do. And, I've been... It's a whole new thing started in March, and you know, I'm 42. I never thought I would get the chance to host a breakfast show on my own at my age. Women don't get that opportunity, so you know, it was
at 30, 12.
Was kind of like, do you know what? Yes, I am gonna do this, and I am loving every second of it.
So, Edith, I'm sure you've listened to this podcast religiously already, right?
I've listened to a couple. I listened to Dawn's, actually.
Oh, did you?
I love her because I did hers as well.
Oh, yeah, get it on.
Just started to sat in a bar drinking champagne.
Yeah, talking about outfits. I mean, that is the girl dream.
She's great.
Yeah. So, so what we do is we debate certain highly important subjects about whether or not they're okay. And they kind of, they're not important, but then they really are. I get really passionate and really angry about them sometimes.
It's the sort of NIMBY stuff that really gets under your skin, isn't it?
So that's vital. Yeah. First of all, topic probably quite close to your heart at the moment with all your film 2016 work is it okay to tell people off in the cinema over their bad etiquette?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think
definitely.
So. Yeah. Have you done that recently?
Oh, yeah, there was a guy, I went to see Arrival a couple of weeks ago with Amy Adams. Brilliant film.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's really great. She's wonderful in it. There was a guy sat in front of me, and you know how kind of the seats are set, so your seat is kind of like in the middle of the two seats in front, so you can see right through it. And he had one of those, you know, like the giant iPhones that are for blind people.
He had one of them,
and full on bright, you know, full brightness, checking his Facebook every 10 minutes. So I just found myself, because I didn't want to kind of make a scene in the middle of the film, but I was like, every time he kind of put his face, and he would put it away.
But did he get the hint? See, sometimes I think British people, they're not very good. I like when British people get angry about things, but nobody really knows they're angry about
it. Sort of passive aggressive.
Yeah. So
I do it at gigs. I will actually walk up to people at
and
gigs.
Punch them in the face.
Not quite physically, I will go up and like, guys, if you're going to talk, go to the bar.
Yeah.
It's like, and especially like, I remember going to see Sigur Rós once, and it's so quiet and, you know, and the little sort of elfish tones.
Oh, and when people chat, it's
shut up.
I can't bear that, actually.
Do you think it matters what sort of film you're in the sense that, say, for example, you've gone to see some sort of Disney sort of shenanigans with kids.
Yeah.
Do you have a different set of rules there for sort of munching on popcorn and kids sort of like kicking the back of a chair? Or
I think you have to give a little bit of kind of leeway with kind of kids and stuff.
If you're going to see a baby film.
Yeah,
they're going to be babies there.
Yeah, I mean, mother and baby.
I'm just wondering where you're sort of, you know, go to the bar.
Yeah. Stop your baby crying in this mother and baby.
I did go to a screening of the Minions film because my daughter and I love the Minions from Despicable Me.
Of course.
Papal.
Yeah, but the film, A, didn't really live up to what we were hoping. It wasn't as funny or as put together as you hoped. And then it was absolutely teeming with... You know, I mean, the average age was 1.5. And then they'd put a banana on every chair. And I've got a real thing about bananas actually turn my stomach. They make me so sick. So then there was like loads of kids like mashing banana into the seats and like throwing skins over your face and stuff like that.
God, the texture.
So while I accept that in that environment, there was going to be a bit of that. It was my daughter, who was 10 at the time, looked at each other and we were like, yeah, we're beyond this. This is like never again.
I have been at a cinema and my daughter at the time, I think, was 5. I can't remember what we were seeing. It was probably some sort of Minions type thing. And you have, by default, the cinema jacked them up on sugar.
Yeah.
And then asked them to sit still for 2 hours. And she, in her defence, was actually just sitting, munching on her sweets. But every time she sort of crunched on the popcorn or something, the man in front would say,
oh, no.
Like that at her. And in the end, I found myself saying, excuse me. Yeah. Just stop it.
It's a kids' film.
Enough. Yeah. Enough.
Would you stand and singing along? I mean,
give me an example.
Did you go to the Lego Movie?
Yeah.
Everything is awesome. I mean, come on. You can't not.
Well, I didn't do it, but I...
We ran down the front.
I condone it. I love Everything is Awesome.
So good.
I like to sing it sarcastically when everything's so not awesome.
Yeah. Kind of gets you through things, doesn't it? It's going to go through great teeth. Totally.
I think my lowest point in cinema etiquette was when I was having a standoff fight with some 12-year-old girls behind me all through. I can't even remember the film. And I think it was because I didn't like the film that much. So I became more invested in their bad behavior. So they kept kicking my seat. And then when they realized it was annoying me, they were doing it more. So then I was like pushing back on my seat so that it was really, really hard for the seat to yield. And there was like this Mexican standoff for the entire film. And with them calling me every name under their breath. So to the point where when the film ended, I thought, right, I'm going to get punched in the face now. This is like, I was like, took a deep breath thinking these 12-year-old girls are going to beat me up on the way to the bus. And the minute the lights went up, their heads went down and they scurried out. So they were more scared of me.
Scared of you. Amazing.
It was a low blow, low day.
I got told to shut up at the Oasis documentary recently. Well, because there's so many bits of the band singing.
Because you were going,
Maverick! I was just like that, Champagne Supernova and... Yeah, it's like you really like Oasis.
Oh, you're so uncouthy.
Could you shut up? Okay.
Was there alcohol involved either?
Unfortunately, not. That's what makes it sadder.
It was just a pure joy.
Yeah. Loser.
So, it's.
I think it depends on the situation, doesn't it?
It's just that thing when you've got a grown ass person and you just think. You know, you've got more of a brain than this than to get on your phone
or
to be chatting or yeah. It's
just
2 hours. Also, it's so expensive to go to the cinema. So if you do that thing of getting childcare and spending the money to go and see something, to find yourself, as you were saying, Joe, more invested in what someone else is doing around you than just enjoying that moment and being sort of taken away by the film, it is so irritating.
Do you know where else where I've probably got unreasonable amounts of low tolerance is lateness? You know what time it's on? Why?
Yeah.
15 minutes into the damn film, have you still got people going, excuse me, trying to, I mean, what is
and the
what
film
the
never
hell is
starts.
That?
The film always starts 50 minutes anyway after, because they only start the trailers 5 minutes after the time it's supposed to start. So you are a good bit late now.
Yeah. So this is really when you will find, I'm the one going, oh, and then everyone's annoyed with me going, oh, and then my husband says, shut up. And then we're making the noises.
And then you get that runny cheese spilt over your legs from those horrible nachos that you get.
From those 12-year-old girls behind. Me.
So there is an answer to this. It's Netflix, Apple TV, stay at home, wait.
As my husband says to me, I just think you and the public, it's just not, it doesn't work.
Is that why we're in a room?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Changing the topic quite a lot, really. That's the way it rolls here.
I like it.
I mean, it's
nachos
just
too.
Ping pong.
Anything can happen. I want to talk about therapy, and we've got an issue. We've got a feature in the new issue about friendship therapy. It's this new thing that some people are trying. Is it okay to use therapy for friendship? I think therapy, some people are still a bit weird about it. But you can use it sort of like for individual purposes, for, you know, going and seeing a therapist to work out your own issues. And certainly couples therapy, traditionally sort of like husbands and wives or partners. But we've got a feature in the new issue out now, £2.
Smooth.
Seamless.
Finger guns. And it's about two women, best friends, been best friends for decades, who decide to put their relationship under the therapist's microscope. And I think it's fascinating, because I think that we all do. And we tend to, I think, have issues with our friends, our best girlfriends, and kind of just not ever address them.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think?
I agree. And I think, you know, if I think about a selection of my friendships, they're all very different.
Yeah.
And they all, each different relationship works differently and people react differently to things. And I know that there are certain situations where I want to be really honest with someone about something, but I know it will hurt their feelings and I know how they will react to something. So yeah, it's kind of like, I don't want to do that, but it would really benefit us and them if I did that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I think it's a really healthy thing. If you value the friendship, I think it's a real investment in it, because hopefully by going to therapy with it, it will only strengthen it and it will kind of almost kind of dust off all those kind of, you know, niggles that you have or issues that
you
have.
Would you feel the same way if someone said to you, one of your friends said to you, right, you do this thing to me and I'd like to go and see a sort of mediator or therapist? Would you be offended by that, or would...
I maybe would have been about 5 years ago, but I think I've sort of, things that I've experienced, so I'm really into like mindfulness and things like that.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And I really find the benefit of that, and, you know, and about seeing that world glass half full and all that kind of stuff. And I really believe in that and a kind of positive energy and things. And I think that if someone now came to me and said that, I would be really open to the idea. And you know, I sometimes think that I always crave like feedback with work, and then you hardly ever get it.
Oh no, I don't. No. I could well be the worst boss in the world, and I'm happy to not know that.
For broadcasting, be it a radio show or a TV show, I want to know where I went wrong, because it's the only way I'm going to get better. So, but you don't always get that from bosses. There's, maybe it's like getting there scared to do it. Maybe bosses is the next therapy. That's a good one.
Suddenly,
how do you mediate between Joe?
My blood ran cold.
But would you guys be up for the friendship?
No.
Well,
why not?
Maybe this makes me underdeveloped, sort of emotionally. But I would have no problem with it as couples therapy or individually. But I just feel that if a friendship has got that far, that it's needing some sort of mediation, it's possibly beyond,
I'm not sure,
repair.
It's
even, I think I'd feel really squeamish and
I'm not
LA-ish
sure it's even about
it. And
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, as I said, it says more about me and my discomfort, I'm sure. But I'd just be mortified by the whole thing.
I'm not sure if it even is always about something that needs mediation. It's almost like going to the gym to develop muscles, like going to the therapy session to strengthen something. I think I look back on my friendships, they've definitely changed over the years. In my 20s, I used to fight like cat and dog with my best friends, like sisters, and that I think takes you to a different kind of closeness and intimacy. 30s and 40s, I really haven't had the same time to invest in those friendships.
I hardly see my mates, to be honest.
Exactly. And so the time I do spend with them, there's possibly a few honesty moments that maybe if I was still in my 20s, I would get into, but I just want to have a nice time with them and, and accept that they do things that annoy me. I'm sure I do things that annoy them. This is where wine comes in.
Yeah.
But then the wine comes in and that's where then kind of sometimes people might say, that then offend someone and friendships can be ripped and torn and broken. So it's kind of...
I just think that I'm... Maybe it's more that I'm more comfortable in my own skin these days. And so I don't...
You're a nicer person, basically.
I'm just a really good person. Yeah. I just don't...
Are you really honest with your friends, though?
Yeah, I've got really close, good friends who I've grown up with in Wales, and you know, we're still very, very, you know, close friends, although we're sort of living in different parts of the world now. You know, we're sort of godmothers to each other's children and still see as much of each other as possible, and it's raucous big nights out or sort of long chats into the middle of the night, but not in the same way anymore because life, partners, children, work, etc. has taken over. But I just don't think I would entertain the sort of friend in my life that it was getting to the point that we needed some sort of therapy together. I just cut them loose because I've got more pressing things going on.
One thing that feature in Glamour made me think is that I want to reconnect more strongly with a couple of friends who I've not 100% lost touch with, but don't talk to as much. And I actually emailed a couple of them after reading that to say, you know, I want to talk about us. I want to talk about why don't we talk as much anymore? And let's talk, and you know, where did this go? Not wrong, but what's happening? And that's been... That's very useful.
An element of it, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. I've loved that, actually.
I think you can be in danger of, as you get older, more embroiled in your own family and your own sort of blinkered universe, of just reporting rather than experiencing something with your friend. Yeah. And you've got to make a real effort to say, right, let's just go to dinner that night together, just the two of us or in a group or whatever it might be, but actually invest the time to just have special connecting time.
Because it's a lot easier, isn't it, to have a non-face-to-face
like something on Instagram.
Send a text, send a WhatsApp, you know, it's kind of all that kind of stuff. I had a friend's birthday recently. It was her birthday, and her boyfriend, quite a new boyfriend, had organised, he'd done some work for a company who had this... It sounds so luxurious, but this castle up in Scotland, it's a drinks company. And so he arranged for us all. He was like, invited everybody. It was up, you had to pay for it and stuff. But this is when we're going and where we're going. If you want to come, great. And there was like 26 of us went, and half of it was his mates and half of it was her mates. And it was brilliant. And I really missed that. And it's just kind of connecting and also meeting new people as well. Mm. You know, you kind of, you know, I meet loads of new people through work, and sometimes friendships are formed sometimes, but it was lovely to kind of be in a group of people that, you know, there was a common ground there of these two people who kind of brought us together. It was lovely.
And I love the transient nature of friendships sometimes. I love that certain people at certain times are the right people for you.
Yeah.
And that fades in and out. But on the whole, and we talk about this a lot at Glamour in Features Meetings, I'm a huge fan of therapy. Huge fan.
Yeah.
I have had therapy in the past, and I just find that talking, it's not, you know, somebody getting inside your head and telling you that you're insane or anything like that. It's just talking and finding tools to be a better person.
And someone who can, someone who's not invested in what you're talking about, so they're not judgmental, and they can almost kind of give you a kind of clear perspective on it as well.
And personally, I think it's quite exciting that people are starting to use that for more broader forms. I think you know, let's get England, let's get Britain.
My mum has a thing which is better out than in, which I think is totally right.
I heard one like that, that's better an empty house than a bad tenant, which is on the same theme. Edith Bowman, what are your hobbies? Tell me.
Well, I like travelling and I like cooking and reading and watching films.
How many times have we heard that in job interviews? Is it okay to really just not have a hobby?
I don't think I have one.
I don't.
Do you know what? I did. I had a hobby for about a week last year. I did the...
Committed then.
Very. I did Children Need British Sewing Bee. So British Sewing Bee for Children Need. Bloody loved it. It was great.
You?
I got shown how to use a sewing machine, and my mum bought me a sewing machine for Christmas. I've used it twice. I really liked it, but it's just a time thing. I would love to have a little corner in my house somewhere in the spare room where my sewing machine is set up. I even bought a table for it.
Oh my God, you have got a hobby. I've now I feel really bad.
You have what they have on. You know, sometimes you see on like does anyone do that thing on Rightmove where they go, oh, imaginary budget, I'm just going to go and spend £6 million in the Cotswolds and look at houses.
All
and on
time,
the weekly. Floor plans, they have things called a hobbies room.
Shut up.
I'm not joking.
Well, that's
you could have your sewing kit in
hobbies
there.
Hobbies corner.
That's for my gift wrapping station. Hasn't everybody got one?
Really?
No.
I love stationery well, shops, all that kind of stuff.
I love gift wrapping. It's so, that's my dream career, be a gift wrap designer. Maybe that could be my
Did
hobby.
Did you empathise oh with God, Mr. Bean yeah. on when he's doing the thing in the film? Is it Love Actually? And he's sort of pouring in the lavender and taking forever on
don't remember
the
that.
Gift.
Yeah.
He did with Liam Neeson. Never mind.
No, I don't remember that. No, but I always think this is really, I'm going to admit this to you. If you're applying for a job at Glamour and if you've written hobbies and interests, I just never believe what's under there. Mm. I just think because everybody's taught that they've got to have a section on their CV that says their hobbies and interests. So I see things like kayaking and I think, nah.
Is it just something you do whilst you're on holiday? Because then snowboarding for me?
Yeah, well, there you go. You can say that. Yeah. And I'd be like, she's now got two totally hobbies. Making that up.
Sewing and snowboarding.
Sewing's not a hobby. I haven't done it in a year.
Snowboarding?
I mean, you don't say that in the job interview, Edith. You tell the other
what
story.
What is a hobby? Is a hobby something you do every week? Is it something
It's got to be something you do with regularity, I think. It's got to be something that you obviously find therapeutic and enjoyable,
but
and
even the word is so cheesy, isn't it? Do you remember Holly Hobby? Do you remember that?
Yes.
I mean, that's what it always reminds me of.
Okay, what would your hobby be if you could choose any hobby?
If you had the time
and the want and the will and the apparatus, what would your hobby be?
Just sleeping camera. I never get to do that.
I think I'd like to watch more films, genuinely. And because that's quite a sort of block of your time, but that's not really a hobby. That's just an indulgence. I'd like to learn a skill. I'd like to learn a language or do a photography course.
Maybe photography is a hobby. I think learning a language, that doesn't seem like a hobby. That seems like,
Hard work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going with photography then.
Or gymnastics.
Gymnastics.
Just not to lie.
I can see that, Edith.
Trampolining. I love a bit of mega jump at the weekend in Boreham Wood.
Do you?
Yeah, totally.
We've got one near us at home and there's an ambulance basically parked outside to cart the kids off.
No figures are available on the injuries caused by trampoline
I was
parks.
Just about to say, I was demonstrating. The last time I went on a trampoline, I was demonstrating to my three-year-old how to do it. Not factoring in that for small people, the ceiling was at a height and I did a massive big jump.
Ow!
And absolutely bashed my head on the top of the ceiling and went down like a ton of bricks on the trampoline.
Ow.
So trampolining is not
your hobby. Don't be fooled at those trampoline parks that the side trampolines are easy to use. I can vouch they're not.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, you know, it's like, so the trampoline's on the wall at the side. So you bounce on the trampoline on the floor and then you jump.
What, some sort of parkour?
You can tell Edith's got boys. This does, there's that kind of
thing.
We've
both got girls.
Yeah. Welcome to my world.
Man, have they got hobbies? Have your kids got hobbies?
Pokemon Go, can that be a hobby?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Pokemon Go, playing. They just love it. But you know, that's great. I mean, we run around playing, I know you haven't seen Star Wars, but they have things called lightsabers in Star Wars. And we have like lightsaber fights in the house all the time.
Wow.
We do a lot of playing and like climbing trees
and things.
You should
write that on your hobbies. Lightsaber battles. I mean, that would get my attention.
Joe would give you the job, hands down.
That's certainly, that tops, cooking and travelling.
Yeah, my three-year-old does the best Yoda impression. It's just hilarious. Should I find it to play it for you? Because you have to hear this.
I want to brainstorm Edith's hobby world.
My girls' school, they've got ridiculous number of sort of extracurricular clubs, and one I saw listed for next term was origami club.
Yeah, my daughter. When my daughter was younger, and I'd say, "So, what's your favourite subject at school?" And she'd go, "Jewelry club." So, yeah.
Do you want to hear a three-year-old doing Yoda? Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Powerful you are. The dog sort of said.
That's a skill.
That actually,
that's something for a CV.
If whoever does Yoda is unavailable that day,
Spike
for the
Stanley
next one,
Bowman Smith is available.
I think that's cool. That's a good hobby. Yoda impressions. This is all stuff that, because you know, inevitably when I do have to prepare my CV again, I want a whole new raft of hobbies and interests.
Do people still have CVs?
I don't know. Do
you get sent CVs still?
YouTube video applications. Yeah,
and they always come with a photograph now of this sort of very well, I don't know if it's just specifically to the magazine.
Filtered.
Yes, and sort of preened, kind of, you know, frightening eyebrows, sort of pouty lips, sort of side-on shot, contoured face.
Do you remember when it used to be enough just to put your CV on bright pink to make it stand out?
Spray it with
those perfume. Days are over.
Kiss the envelope. Oh, it's not Valentine's Day.
A friend of mine sent a cake to a prospective employer and said, well, with me, you can have your cake and eat it too. She didn't get the job.
Oh my God.
That's quite suggestive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't work on any level whatsoever. I think that's everything put to right. I've got my hobbies sorted. I'm not going to pick on any more 12-year-olds in the cinema.
You're going to watch Star Wars.
I am.
Promise. I think you're going to find the first one a bit hard going. I remember thinking it was going to be amazing when I watched it again, and it's pretty slow.
What, I think that might be the one I fell asleep in.
The original one.
Yeah. Don't give them. I'm not that big a fan. But thank you so much for being with us today, Edith.
Oh, anytime.
Virgin Radio, Monday to Friday.
Soundtracking.
Your biggest fan.
Soundtracking.
Download it on Audio Boom and iTunes.
Yeah. And Claudia, you just get back to work. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.